From the top of the Time Life building, smack dab in the middle of New York City, this is the Taz Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking wrestling, sports, and beyond.
It's the Black Tower Maniac coming out of Brooklyn, a one-man crime spree. He gonna leave you shook. Try to beat him if you can and survive if he lets you. Human suplex, and he coming for you too. Better watch out, the guy your mother warned you about. And he's got one question I'll inform you about. Like,
you're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
Award-winning host and former world heavyweight champion, Taz.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? How you guys doing? This is the Taz Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Taz. Hope you guys are doing good. Today's Friday. Happy Friday. And again, I apologize. There was no live show this morning on radio.com app or at TazShow.com. Did the job for the Pope 2 days in a row. I announced it yesterday and today there would be no live show in the morning. But as promised, here is your podcast of the Taz Show. And just to remind you guys, I will be back live, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern this Monday morning. You could listen to the show, TazShow.com, or on your mobile device, radio.com app, the free app. So check out the show. We're building a big audience. The phone calls have been great from you guys. The calls have been great, I should say. It's been awesome. So I'm going to give you a SmackDown breakdown of some stuff that stuck out to me on SmackDown that I have some thoughts, opinions, grievances, and all that kind of jazz. Going to come at you with that in a few seconds here. So the Pope's still in New York City. Okay, the Pope is in New York City. And I did the job, as I said. Could not get to the city. Everything's shut down in Midtown where I work. All those streets are closed down. I mean, so as I said yesterday in the podcast version of the Taz Show, the building I work in is only a couple blocks from a block and a half or something like that from St. Patrick's Cathedral. So that's where the Pope is running his house show yesterday. So, so it was crazy. And he's doing all stuff in the UN and throughout Midtown and so it's great to have the Pope in the United States, especially in New York City. It's awesome. And it was funny. I got a tweet early this morning from the esteemed producer of the Boomer and Carton show in the CBS family on the WFAN, the great morning drive show of Boomer and Carton. And got to tell you, it was it was funny because Al Dukes, he's the man there. He's, you know, the producer. He's the head honcho. And he's the showrunner for Boomer and Carton. Al sent me a tweet, and I'm not reading the tweet. It was something like, you know, you should say whatever what the Pope's finishing move is or would be. So some of you guys, it triggered you guys. It was funny. Some of you guys tweeted the last ride would definitely be a good name for a Pope finish. Crucifix, obviously, crucifix powerbomb. You know, it would be very funny. So it'd be interesting to see the Pope in all his Pope regalia, the gimmick, as we call it, the white deal with the hat, the pointy hat and all that stuff. I mean, it would be funny to see if he was in the business. Imagine that, in the ring, the Pope wearing the gimmick. It would be kind of crazy, I got to say. So, with the hat, I think it was Al Dukes who tweeted about the hat, too. I think it was Al saying that. I don't think he could. I'm looking for these tweets right now. Shockmaster Helmet at Drew Lower Peacock 10. Okay, that's a funky name. That's his Twitter. This guy here tweeted back at me and Al Dukes. Gotta be the crucifix or the last ride. I agree. This is what sparked it all. Al Dukes said, hey, Taz, you know, get the Pope on. Ask him what his finishing move would be if he was a wrestler. So I said, I tried to get the Pope on, but the guy wants too much Schnabus Fernum. He wants too much money. He wants a big payday, and I don't mean the candy bar. Cold, hard cash for the Pope. That's how he rolls, right? No. So, having some fun at the Pope's expense here. It was fun getting some of you guys jumping on the stuff here. If the Pope was a grappler, what's better, the last ride for him or the crucifix? I don't know. That's maybe a vote. Maybe it's something we could do last week, even though it'll be anticlimactic. Everybody loves anticlimactic stuff as long as it's good. Anyways, so this is the deal. So, also one thing I want to say, DraftKings, yes. This is not a promotion right now, not one of my promo reads, but I want to say I went crazy yesterday with DraftKings. I built five teams because the Redskins and the Giants had at it. The Giants ended up taking out the Redskins pretty handily, in my opinion. And DraftKings was definitely a friend of mine, and hopefully I keep rolling with the Sunday games and talk about some cold, hard cash. And don't forget, you can use my promo code and play for free on there, TAZ, on DraftKings. Big supporter of the show, big sponsor and advertiser on the Taz Show. So love DraftKings, but I'm a fan of – they got a great app, too. Their app is awesome, so I'm a fan of DraftKings. So I wanted to talk about that. And I also, last thing I want to say before I talk about SmackDown – is I'm falling asleep last night. It's late. I was watching TV a little bit. I see Global Force Wrestling. Not Global Force. How am I doing? That's Jeff Jarrett. It was called Global Supercard. Global something like that. Whatever it was. They changed the name a million times. It was USWA guys, Memphis guys. It was the global guys at a sportatorium in Texas. It's confusing. That's when they were mixing talent back in the probably early 90s, late 80s, probably early 90s. I flitched through it a little quick because I was halfway falling asleep. Speaking of Jeff Jarrett, he actually wrestled on there. I think he wrestled El Grande Pistolero, who I believe, under that mask, I believe that was the ever dangerous, toughest man I've ever wrestled, Gypsy Joe. Okay, I wrestled Gypsy in Japan. You guys know that story. He beat the snot out of me when I was a kid, and he was an old man. And I believe he was under the hood as El Grande Pistolero. And he wrestled Jeff Jarrett. I saw a little bit of that match. I was laughing watching it. My man, I conked out because I wanted to see the Texas Hangman. You know, Psycho and Killer. The Texas Hangman were on there. I think they wrestled individually. They were on there. Trying to think who else was on there. You know, so anyway, I love all that stuff. I mean, because that's when I was kind of breaking into business, and I was like dying to get into one of those companies back then. You know, now looking back, I'm like, kind of glad that didn't happen, right? No, but it was good stuff. You know, I wish I would have stayed awake. I did TiVo it, so I'm going to watch the rest of it later because I enjoy that stuff. So especially, you know, the Texas Hangman, bro, I would love to see the Texas Hangman come back into the business. I think that'd be great. Just put it on two big jacked up guys with hoods on. It'd be great. Dr. Tom Pritchett was on there doing color commentary. With somebody was the play-by-play guy, I don't remember. They had a different guy. Skandar Akbar was doing the on-cameras in the beginning with a different announcer. The whole thing was just confusing. So I got to watch the whole thing while I'm awake and figure it all out. But that was the Global Supercard gimmick on ESPN. That's what I'm speaking of late last night. Though, you know, it was on. I have a DirecTV, so that's where I caught it. Anyway, on to SmackDown. Excuse me. Gotta say, I like the show. I mean, I'm not going to break down every single segment of it. I mean, but that's some things that jumped out. I mean, I saw Roman Reigns and Luke Harper. I thought they had a fast-paced match for two very big dudes. You know, Booker T kept telling us how large both these guys were. He just kept really pressed the fact how big they were. I mean, that's good and bad. It gets to the point where, like, okay, I got it, bro. They're big. Got it. But the pace they both work was very impressive. Luke Harper, a very underrated big man. He really can go. You know, he's respected as a really strong worker. So, and Reigns, I thought he and Reigns did a really good job. They had good chemistry with these two dudes. Reigns wins the match via super punch spear combination. So wins with the spear. Actually got the pinfall with the spear. I don't remember the spot. It's some kind of a duck spot. With Superman punch lands, and then he ducks. He springs off the rope, does Harper. Reigns ducks the gimmick, whatever. Boom, boom, boom. Here comes a spear. Winner, Roman Reigns. So, you know, thought it was a good match by two large dudes. I did. I mean, I liked it. Then my boys come out, the New Day. Okay, the New Day come out, and they just tear it up on the stick, on the mic, at the trombone. The whole deal. It was a six-man match with the Lucha Dragons and Neville in a nice two-segment match with the New Day versus Lucha Dragons and Neville. And man, this was excellent. I mean, the New Day kicked it off with a promo. That's how I should have said that. And I really enjoyed that promo by the New Day. Funny stuff as usual, taking shots at the Dudleys and stuff like that. It was funny. It was good. It was entertaining. Now, this match had everything in it. As I said, it was a two-segment match. Everything that you need as a viewer and a wrestling fan from a physical athleticism standpoint, along with psychology, this match had it covered. They did everything you could imagine. Well, I'm exaggerating, not everything. They did a lot of really good high spots, a lot of good flying stuff. I'm trying to remember, there was a spot with the babyfaces, Lucha Dragons and Neville. I don't remember which Lucha Dragon. One of them was on the top turnbuckle while the New Day was on the outside of the ring. Neville was on the other top turnbuckle, and the other Lucha Dragon did a plancha while the one, again, I don't remember which one, I'm sorry, Lucha Dragon jumped off and did a moonsault off the top, as Neville did. So they did stereo moonsaults off the top turnbuckle onto the cement, onto the New Day, while the other Lucha did the dive through the ropes, over the ropes. It was awesome. It was awesome. It was a great spot. Great camera work on that spot. The production, obviously, WWE is spot on all the time. Xavier Woods wins the match. I believe it was a Shining Wizard come running. Boom, boom, wins the match. And like I said, the match, they kept the heat on the New Day, but the match had everything you needed from a physical standpoint. Enjoyed it. I do think that, I do think that these guys just, as far as a six-man, which is hard, when you have that many guys in a match, it's hard to, keep that chemistry rolling, but all six of these guys have it together, and whatever way they broke down the match, went over the match, whoever the agent was on the match, all good stuff. I mean, really, I really enjoyed it. I thought the whole SmackDown card had good wrestling, which I'll get into some more of it in a second, but, this I liked a lot. Then we saw Cesaro and Bo Leave. You got a Bo Leave. Bo Dallas. He came out and cut his promo. He's always entertaining, this kid. He's funny as heck, as we know. But I'll tell you what. I think this was a good match because Cesaro wins the match. I think it was a good match, a good way, I should say, to build back up Cesaro after the bit that he did with the Big Show on Monday night. Cesaro, got beat pretty handily with a knockout punch, and there was a lot of heat put on him during the match from the Big Show. So that match on Monday, as I talked about in a previous show here, as I talked about on the Taz show this past Tuesday, I must have covered it in Raw on a live show. That match against Big Show and Cesaro was not really, that thing was all built to build the Big Show for MSG against Brock Lesnar. So Cesaro was the sacrificial lamb in that thing. But right now in this match, meaning SmackDown, it was a good way, and they did, WWE did, to build Cesaro back up. And Bo ended up losing the match. But the thing was, man, I do think that Cesaro, the way he won the match was cool. It was a nice roll-up. I think it was like a tight roll-up, like with a hammerlock involved, like a cradle. And it came out of the heat where Bo had a lot of heat throughout the match, putting a lot of heat on Cesaro. And the finish, the win, the babyface victory, came out of nowhere with this roll-up, with this hammerlock and all that, this tight locking cradle, which was well done and by Cesaro, no doubt. In my opinion, I do think that a stronger way to win would have been better, in my viewpoint, in my opinion. I mean, with a finishing, a more succinct, stronger finish by Cesaro. This is obviously not Cesaro's call. This is coming from the office, so this is how they wanted the match to go. Not move by move, but I'm saying the finish, where he gets the victory out of the heat. It would have been a great opportunity to see God-style neutralizer. We've seen, Cesaro, that's his deal. We see him do this thing all the time, and he's great at it. Where it goes for like a pile driver and cradles through the crotch and the leg and drives the guy forward like on his face and chest area. So for those that don't know what it is, it looks like it's going to be a pile driver, like a cradle pile driver, but it's not. God style neutralizer, man. It's like, Cesaro's done this in WWE and before and all that. And it would have been nice to see him, win with that, win in a stronger way, in my view. That's just, again, my opinion. But I think it was a much-needed win here. I don't get hung up in the wins and losses, but I think it was smart by WWE to come back with a victory after, on SmackDown, after what happened on Raw, the way Cesaro lost to Big Show and how long the match went with the heat put on Cesaro by the big man. So this was a good way to redeem the character for Cesaro. And it doesn't hurt Bo Dallas because Bo cut his promo in the beginning. And he kind of loses a lot of matches. That's his gimmick. You got to be positive. He punks out people verbally in a sarcastic, smiling way. and whenever they lose, and like, but he keeps losing, which is funny. It's good heel heat, and the kid pulls it off great. I definitely enjoyed the match. I think both these guys worked really well with each other. Also, thought it was good stuff. You know, a lot of you guys are huge Cesaro fans out there. I mean, most of my fan base that listens, that follows me on Twitter, all listens to the Taz Show. You guys are, you know, stronger, hardcore wrestling fans. I mean, I'm sure I get a handful of casual fans, which is awesome. But I would think most of you guys dig Cesaro, you know, because he is a, he's got the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, you know, loves Cesaro, and rightfully so. I mean, so, it's really strange in my view, like, the WWE at times, they seem like they got the rocket strapped on Cesaro and pushing him to the moon. You know, it just, it does. And then there's times where it's like Monday with Big Show, where it's like, it's almost like, well, what happened to the guy you were pushing? Like, what happened? Like, and that inconsistency is a little weird, you know? But, I mean, that happens with a lot of guys. It happened with me, too. I mean, when I wrestled there. I mean, it's just, I guess when they like a guy enough, they're going to put him on the main shows. Obviously, the company likes or loves Cesaro because he is on their main shows. They understand, and they hear he's getting the proper response, and people want him pushed harder. And I you know, at first I wasn't a fan of Cesaro's promos, but I actually, it's grown on me a lot. I like it because of the accent and stuff, and I think it's cool. You know, I think it's cool. It makes him different, sets him apart. You know what I mean? So I do like the way Cesaro cuts his deal, his promo. He didn't get any mic time in his SmackDown show, but, you know, I do think that the sky's the limit with this guy. He's got the size. They've built him the right way, how powerful he is. He's got a great physique. You know, physically looks good. You know he's strong. He's got a unique face, and his head, his facial hair, all that stuff. You know, you got to look at the stature of the guy, and he's different. He's different. He looks different than most of the guys on the card. That's a big plus, and he could work. We've seen this guy have knockdown, drag-out matches with a lot of guys recently on Raw. You know, just really great matches, you know. I mean, the guy can work his ass off, and he's been like this for years. So, but then you'll see a little bit of a step back, you know, when, the way they're pushing him and promoting him or booking him, what happened on Monday against the Big Show. But, again, could be a way for them to redeem him right back, getting a victory here. Who knows? Let's see what he does on Raw, if anything. It should be interesting. So, you know, I do think he's got an amazing upside, Cesaro, and the company, it can do whatever. As I said, sky's the limit with this guy. You know, I do think maybe just off the top of my head, a good angle would be something, you know, a strong angle, like a long-term angle with Kevin Owens and him for the Intercontinental Championship. You know, Kevin is the heel, obviously, and then you got my man Cesaro as the babyface. And Cesaro screams international, obviously, the way he talks. But people in the United States love him also. He's the face. Well, you have a long-term, and I said, now, not just matches and stuff like that. I'm talking about do a series, like we've seen in the past what companies do. TNA's done it, WWE's done it, everybody's done series. Best, you know, 3 out of 5, best 2 out of 3, that type thing. I do think you can get some longevity out of two very talented guys that not just casual fans love, but the IWC loves them too, meaning Kevin Owens and Cesaro. I do think that would make that Intercontinental Championship something really amp it up. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit because Kevin Owens, the Intercontinental Champion, did compete in this match in a tag team bout, and I'll get into that in a sec. But I do think that is a really good way, just fantasy booking here, to amplify not just Kevin Owens, not just Cesaro, but that Intercontinental Championship. No knock on Ryback. I've talked about this in the past. I just don't think that, and I like Ryback. I think he's a great character, and he's a, you know, crazy looking freaky body, and he looks the part, and people love him. He's like a modern day Goldberg type guy, but you know, lovable, big, mean guy, you know, muscular guy. He's lovable. People like him. He's just something about him. He connects to the audience. But I do not think, in my professional opinion, and in my experience being around the game as a wrestler and an announcer and all this stuff and a trainer, I do not think that Ryback did the Intercontinental Championship any justice. I do think that Kevin Owens will make the Intercontinental title more than the Intercontinental title will make Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens is made already. Now, you got to help Cesaro. And I just think it's a natural fit. You get two younger guys that are truly in their prime that can work their tails off in Owens and Cesaro. You got the IC Championship hanging in the balance. Do a 3 out of 5 series. Spread that bad boy out on Raw, you know, for the next, whatever, 5 weeks, 4 weeks, or 2 out of 3 series. Again, fantasy booking right here. So, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure it won't happen, but it's just something that I'm thinking about off the top of my head. Because the chemistry is there with those two guys, for sure, Owens and Cesaro. People, I think, would connect to that. And, you know, when you're done listening to this, tweet me. You know, tweet at me. You guys know my Twitter. It's at OfficialTaz with 1Z. Tweet at me and tell me if you like that idea. I'm just curious. I mean, and who knows? Maybe the WWE is hearing this. I know some of those folks listen to the show, to the Taz show, and they hear me. Maybe that sparks something. Maybe there's something there. They don't need me to book their stuff. They obviously got enough guys doing that. Nor do I want to book their stuff. But as an announcer, a broadcaster here, and a host of this show, and of my show, and as a wrestling guy, I do think that would be pretty badass. A series, a long range series. You know, even if it's like, you know, you could even get more than 4 or 5 weeks out of it, because you could spread this thing. You don't have to have them wrestle against each other every week for the 3 out of 5 series or the 2 out of 3 series. You could shoot angles and stuff, obviously, so it's easy. That's a layup for the WWE or any real company. As far as creative, you know, creatively with two guys. But I do think it would put the Intercontinental Championship at a whole nother level with two guys that are made guys. And it doesn't matter at the end of the series who becomes champ or remains champ. Don't matter if you keep it on KO. It don't matter if you put it on Cesaro. It don't matter. It really don't matter. It don't matter, because the title will be made. Both those guys will get tons of pub and tons of TV time, and let them do what they do best, and that's wrestle. And I think stick work would be fun, too. We've seen these guys interact before, and there's a chemistry with them. So, okay, that's my soapbox on the Intercontinental title. I'm going to get off of it right now. But I obviously had thoughts and opinions about it. Hence why I just went into that whole big spiel on the whole Schnabitz, Fernum, Burnham, Hernum. So, all right, boom. Then we see the new Divas champion. The lovely Charlotte, the daughter of the Nature Boy Ric Flair. She comes out with Becky Lynch. Big fan of Becky also. She comes out with Becky to cut a promo and talk about how amazing it was, I'm paraphrasing, that she, Charlotte, became the new Divas champion. And so it's no more PCB, and the P part of the PCB interrupted the promo page. She comes out and says, I'm going to get in the ring, yada, yada, and she's on the mic, and she's got this whole, you know, bitchy thing going on where she's, I don't really know exactly what she's angry about. I mean, she kind of alluded to the fact that she's not good at this stuff on the, I don't think she meant on the microphone. I think what she was saying was she's not good at this sensitivity stuff, talking about how, you know, it was like she almost wanted to apologize, but she didn't, type thing in her promo. That was the character, what she was doing. And it ended up definitely veering off anything of an apology. And you could sense the heat between Charlotte and Paige build up the right way. And Paige kind of punked out Becky again a little bit, you know, and Becky got in her face. And I thought they were going somewhere with Paige and Becky, which is built in now. They could do that anytime they want. They could do anything they want with Charlotte and Paige also. But now they brought back in from what happened on Raw, but now they interjected Natalya into this. She interrupts. And I thought she cut in the ring towards Paige a very honest, sincere type promo, which seemed real, that she said, look, we're good friends. I was the first one to congratulate when you became Divas champ and all this jazz. And Paige, in true heel fashion, slaps her in the face and leaves. Slaps Natty in the face and leaves. You know, and I guess they set up a match for Raw or something with Paige and Natty. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's cool. I mean, you got Charlotte in the ring. You got Becky in the ring. You got Natty in the ring. And then one heel, and she slaps her in the face and just walks out. I mean, I don't know how females are built, because I'm not one. I don't know how they think. In a man's world, as far as wrestlers, I mean, that as an angle, you got to break that thing out into a little bit of a fight now. You know, you can't just slap a guy and leave. Maybe it's different with chicks, with girls, with females. I don't know. But I do think that I don't think I should say that it was maybe I don't think it was done right. Just again, armchair booking here. I do think that you kind of left all three of those girls looking a little silly. I think Natty sold it great. She was like shocked because she just said, "Paige, we are friends. I know we, you know, recently there's some issues with you and you're hot about everything," or whatever she's saying to her, but just to slap her and then just walk out of the ring and you know, I don't know. I just think one of them should have held the other one back or something, or Paige should have got out of that ring real fast. It was just too much of a punk out, in my opinion, just my view. So, look, it's not the end of the world. I mean, this is no big deal. I think it's going to be, it's obviously a setup with Paige and Natty. It's good stuff. I mean, you got a lot of baby faces kind of aligning here. So Paige is either going to be this lone wolf heel, or she should be hooked up with somebody else, either Team Bad or something like that. Or you could do some really good tag matches with Sasha Banks and Paige, the boss, and Paige against like Natty and Becky Lynch could be kind of cool or something. I don't know where they're going with it. It's kind of open-ended. Initially, it seemed like they were going to go straight forge ahead with Charlotte and Paige for the Divas title, which they still can do. They totally still can do it. But you have other moving parts interjected in this thing here. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I'm pretty sure you're going to see something going on with Paige and Natty come Raw. So I thought it was good. I thought it was cool. The angle was cool. But, you know, just the part where Paige leaves the ring, threw a little flag on that. So then we get to, I guess you'd call it a semi-main on SmackDown, where it's a tag team contest. And you know what? I think it was a good match. You know, it was long enough and all that stuff. The guys all worked hard. There's no doubt about that. It was Rusev and Kevin Owens, IC champ, against Dolph Ziggler and Ryback. But, you know, I pause because I'm thinking, you know, like, I liked the finish, what happened for the finish and build into the 1-2-3. I liked it a lot for three reasons. And I'm going to list those reasons. Basically, what happens is Rusev lose the match. Because Kevin Owens left Rusev, said, "The hell with you, I'm taking my belt, I don't care, I'm all about this championship, the IC championship, you mean nothing." Rusev's like, "Go ahead, get out of here, I don't need you, go to hell, goodbye." Which leaves Rusev solo against Dolph Ziggler and Ryback. So, you know, you have the moving parts in here of, you know, the former Intercontinental Championship champion in Ryback, you know, so you got the heat with him and Kevin Owens. And you got, obviously, the Rusev-Dolph stuff with Summer and all that stuff. So the love triangle or quadangle or whatever the hell it's called. But here's why I like the finish the way it went down. So basically, Kevin Owens leaves. Rusev loses the match, gets pinned by Ryback. And this is the thing. Three reasons. Pay attention, boys and girls. Get your pen and paper. Okay, number one, this keeps Kevin Owens as the lone wolf, the loner type, you know, miserable, angry heel that no one likes, and he's on his own, and it helps the Intercontinental Championship, helps the Intercontinental Championship a little bit. It does, because he holds that thing in the air and all that stuff. It helps it. When I saw him come out in his tag team match, I'm like, let this guy, Kevin Owens, compete solo matches, individual, and defend that IC Championship. Build that championship. There's a lot of history in that thing, and it means something. Build it. But now you throw him in a tag team match. I'm like, no. But they ended it the right way. So that's number one. I think by having Rusev get pinned while he's alone by Ryback, it really helps keep Kevin Owens that selfish, arrogant loner that don't care about anyone except that Intercontinental Championship. So I thought that was awesome. Number two, I think, you know, Ryback now, he gets a big win on a real credible guy in Rusev, even though it's a tag team match, and it helps Ryback redeem losing the Intercontinental Championship. So I do think that's a big plus for Ryback, and he needed that. He needed that, okay? Totally. That's a big win on him. And third of all, in no particular order with this 1-2-3, it protects Rusev, I should say. in the loss because he was alone against two credible guys. He was alone. So Rusev gets beat because he was stranded, you know, and he gets beat by Ryback, you know. So I just thought the whole thing was handled the right way. I do think the announcers could have did a better job telling that story, and maybe on Raw they'll bring it forward. There wasn't a lot of time in defense to the announcers. But, you know, because if 1-2-3 happens and now it's like you got to tell all those stories, you know, that's a little tough, but they could have planted some seeds about it. Maybe they did. I didn't hear the whole thing. Sometimes I tune out the announcing, to be frank. Then I also liked they went into a nice package, video package, building up the Big Show. And for this MSG match, Madison Square Garden match against Brock Lesnar on the WWE Network. I do think that this package was awesome in the way they built the big man, the Big Show. They're building him for the show. But, you know, I don't think he's going to win this match, but I think Brock's going to win the Go to Hell Tour, you know. That's the first stop in the Go to Hell Tour. And I said it on the Taz Show Live this past week. I've been on the Go to Hell Tour for about 25 years. So I've been on this tour every day. I'm on the Go to Hell Tour. Go to hell! Go to hell! You're on the Go to Hell Tour, Taz. You're on the Go to Hell Tour. Again, nice package. Like the package building up the Big Show, for sure. They're building them. So now Big Show, you know, when he falls and loses at the Garden, it's... You know, Brock really beat someone. You know, not just a legendary guy in a Big Show with this big, long career, but as of recent, the push they've given him and stuff like that. So they did a backstage thing with the Dudleys. I liked the interaction a lot with the Primetime Players and the Dudley Boys. I thought it was really good. You could see they're going somewhere. Basically, the Primetime Players saying, yo, Dudley Boys, here's the deal. You know, when you guys are done with the New Day, don't forget about us type thing. So, Primetime Players, that's what they said. So I think it's cool. That's what the Dudleys, the beautiful thing about them is, man, they kind of inject whole new type of life in the tag team world at the WWE, man. And they could work with anyone, that's proven. They could wrestle, interact on a microphone with anybody. These guys are chameleons, the Dudleys. Bubba and Devon have had this long, successful career for a reason because they are legit, no doubt. And I thought it was interesting that, I don't know if they're going to wrestle like this, but Bubba was not wearing like the traditional Dudley Boy camo buttoned up to the top, Chicano style, shirt. He was wearing like a tank top, as the kids call it today, with the 3D logo on. I thought that was cool. You know, Bubba's got himself, you know, during the years in TNA and his run as the world champion, as you guys know, changed his physique over the past several years and lost a lot of weight, and really, I could tell you from experience knowing the guy for a lot of years, he put a lot of work, Bubba did, and Devon too, but Bubba had to lose like a lot more weight than Devon did, but they both are in great shape. They're both avid guys that train and eat right, but Bubba really had to change himself around, totally dedicated to eating right and stuff like that and training the right way and taking the right supplements, getting your body straight, So it's good to see Bubba still doing that, and knowing him, his work ethic, he'll get even better shape while his run in WWE is going on with Devon. So it looks like maybe they're losing that camo shirt. I don't know, maybe Bubba. So we'll see. Maybe he's going to wrestle in that tank top, show off the guns a little bit, and he's got some new ink too. So on his shoulder, I don't know, he's got, looks like maybe a parakeet with a rowboat or something on his arm. But I digress. Then we saw the main event. Seth Rollins wrestled Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose wins the match. Okay, what happens? Very good match. Okay, good match here. Good main event. Seth Rollins, WWE champion, going at it with Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose gets the win. You know, Kane lighting treatment. Pyro, Kane, boom. Lighting hits. Everything's red. Seth Rollins is freaking out because what happened on Raw when he got pulled in the bottom ring. So he's bugging out during the match, during the end of the match. And next thing you know, Ambrose rolls him up 1-2-3 due to Kane on the brain for Seth Rollins. Got to credit Jerry the King Lawler. That was a very good line. He said, Kane on the brain. Is that Kane on the brain? I thought that was funny. Very good line by the King. I thought it was fine. You know, it was pretty obvious. Once you saw that lighting treatment hit and you didn't see Kane, and they showed Kane in the back in the suit, corporate Kane watching on the monitor laughing, head games, and then that's why Seth Rollins cut his promo at the end of it saying, you know, I'm going to get you, Kane, you know, your head games aren't going to work or whatever. But I do think as far as a logistics wrestling standpoint that Dean Ambrose could have hit that roll up a little bit quicker, in my opinion. I think he waited a little long. He let Seth sell the pyro and the lighting treatment a little too long. I think it should have came quicker, my opinion. And that's just how I feel about it. But no one else is really going to throw a flag like that unless a guy who's really been around or wrestled or knows and stuff. You just can't let a heel wait that long when you're going to beat him and he's a champion. So, you know, but like the match, thought both guys, obviously they have history with the Shield and everything with those two guys, they definitely have a long history. So the match was real good. And again, that's SmackDown. SmackDown, I think all the matches were good. I nothing really was like horrendous at all. A lot of good wrestling, you know, good long matches, you know, legit wrestling, not a bunch of talking, but, you know, I missed the very beginning, so I didn't want to break that down, but, you know, running around and stuff, doing stuff, trying to chase down the Pope, bro, trying to get him on the show. All right, anyway, so that's really it. Look, you guys enjoy your weekend. Thank you for downloading and subscribing to this edition of The Taz Show. Don't forget, please remember and tell your friends and family, I will be back live. Okay, live this coming Monday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern, and going to do a going to have fun, going to do our thing, going to have the hot phone lines going. We're going to, you know, just do our thing. Seth will jump in and out, my producer, who's always busy doing something. So, but Seth's girl is pregnant, and she's due to give birth any day. So maybe even once this thing drops, this show, maybe their baby will drop, meaning born. So early congratulations to him and his girl on the birth of their child. So I don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet. I don't know what's happening. I'm assuming this is going to happen any day. So come to think of it, you might not hear Seth at all on my show for a little while. So I think he's going to be out a while. So, but, you know, anyway, that's the dealio. I hope you guys enjoyed this edition of The Taz Show, and we'll be back live this Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern. Make sure you download the Radio.com app if you want to listen live on your mobile device, or go TazShow.com. We'll get you through everything. You can figure it all out from there. That brings you right to Play It, my page on Play.it. And the podcast version of the show, the download version, digital download, is available at Spotify, TuneIn, you know, iTunes, Play It, you know, TazShow.com. You can find me anywhere. All right, look, and that's it. Enjoy football this weekend. Great college games coming up. Great pro games. And also, I'm sorry to mention, obviously no Jim Ross on this edition of the show. He'll be back to do the Barbecue Pigskin Report football lead-in next Friday right here on the Taz Show Live. We'll do that. So, have JR back next Friday. So hope you guys enjoy your college and NFL games this weekend. And I'll be screaming at you live this coming Monday morning, 7 a.m. Thanks again. I'm Taz. You're not Steve.